Hello, I'm Hal Lublin.
And I'm Mark Gagliardi.
Since the dawn of humanity, one issue has gone unsettled. With the fate of the world in the balance, we're here to settle once and for all. Best Hamilton song.
That's right. Don't worry, everyone. We got this.
Podcasts should have a theme song.
Podcasts should not have a theme song.
Yes, they should.
No, they shouldn't.
They sound good.
Yeah, but people are just going to skip past it.
You know what?
You're right. We got this.
Hello, people of the world.
Wait, I dropped one.
I'm going to tell you what Hal is doing right now. Hal, maybe you want to tell them why. Maybe this isn't my thing to tell people, I guess.
Look, our episodes have been getting a little long. I know you like that, but for this one, I needed to take a laxative. That business is mine and mine alone. And I was mentioning to Mark before we officially began the episode, I was like, wouldn't it be funny if that was our ticking clock? Because I don't know how fast this will act.
Yeah. Take a handful of them.
Let me just get a whole sheet.
Yeah. Like a prank in a frat movie amount that would be put into someone's coffee.
You know, they're so hard to get at it because they're like in the little bubble pack, but like it's got a hard back to it. And they're so
It's hard to squeeze it out.
First of all, the packaging feels your pain. But second of all, it's enough of a labor to get them out that it's like the package is like, are you sure? Are you sure you want to do this? You saw Dumb and Dumber, right? You saw what happened when he had it poured into his tea. So anyway, that's just something going on in the background. Let's talk about Hamilton.
Let's talk about Hamilton.
Chris Winspear suggested this.
And I hope that at some point, if we reach an impasse in the episode where there's one that I want and there's one that you want, that you're just going to have to go like, fine.
Yeah.
And then run off. Before we start talking about this, this is very exciting, Hal. We haven't done one, just the two of us, in a while.
We haven't. This is nice. And you texted me about it. It made me feel good.
I texted him one day. I was like, I love having guests. We have wonderful guests on the show.
Yes.
And it's always a blast to have our guests. But I texted Hal. I was like, dude, we haven't done one that's just us in a while. Let's just catch up. And so I have a coffee and Hal's got laxatives. And
I've been eating a salad.
You are taking care of business. Is there kale in the salad? Was there kale?
No, it's a butter plus lettuce mix or little gems. And then a sliced cucumber.
Hold on a second. What's the difference between butter lettuce and butter plus lettuce?
I think like the butter plus has laxative in it. I don't know. This company that makes it, they make like butter lettuce, butter plus, little gems. And I'm like, whichever one is available, just give me two of those and then I'll have salad for a couple days.
Great.
But that's it. It's just tomatoes, cucumbers, and salad with some Newman's Own oil and vinegar on top.
Nice. I love me some Newman's Own.
Yeah, it's good.
And it goes, they go to charity. The money goes to charity. That's nice.
That's right.
Before we start
talking about Hamilton.
Oh, God, that was fast. Wow, that worked quickly.
No. Before we talk about Hamilton, yes.
But before we talk about Hamilton, I have to say that our experience with this show helped me out a lot in the past week, because one thing that I was in desperate need of doing and had been kind of putting off was getting a car, like buying a proper car.
Yes.
I'd been using Eric's old 89 Wagoneer, which it got to the point where every day it was really like a 50-50 shot as to whether or not it would start when I turned the key.
Sure.
And it frequently wouldn't. And then I would go and I would lift up the hood and slam the hood. And sometimes that helped. And sometimes it didn't help. So it was time. But in looking for a car, I actually had to sit down and go, okay, what are the criteria that are most important? Let's weigh these criteria. Like, what am I willing to give up in for this other thing?
Yeah.
Objectively, you know, I go in with certain things that I'm interested in, but by the end, I wound up with one that I was not expecting to get, but it actually, based on all my criteria, it was exactly the one that I needed, which I was.
Don't tell me what it was, but tell me what you were going to say, but just don't reveal the car.
It felt like I was doing an episode of this show by myself. What I should have done is just called you and we'd have figured out the whole thing. This took me a week.
I would have been happy to. Oh,
it took me a week to do. We could have gotten it done in an hour.
You know what? We could have both taken laxatives. You would have been in and out of there so fast. You wouldn't have even known what was happening. Now, what were your criteria? What did you settle on? What were like the main things you were looking for in a car?
Here's what I wanted. I wanted it to be not expensive.
Sure.
But there were things that I wanted, which was I wanted a sunroof,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted Apple CarPlay.
Yep.
And I wanted leather seats.
Okay.
If I could get them. That was one of those ones that I was willing to get rid of. What I wound up getting was called leatherette. Let's say okay. vegan leather seats.
Sure.
Seats.
You feel better about it.
Yeah, exactly. Fake leather. I hope it doesn't flake off like a belt from Ross. But but as of right now, it looks okay.
Oh, when you get that belt, it feels so good. You're like,
it does.
This actually, I'm surprised I got this at Ross because it's so nice.
And then 3 days later, yeah.
It just looks like a infected foot. Now I know you got a Hyundai.
And I also, the other thing that I wanted was, well, this one is more specific to this car because I had driven this car before. So it wasn't like a thing that I was actively looking for, but it was a real perk of this car, which is active lane assist, which is basically self-driving, but Elon Musk is better at PR. So he calls it self-driving when legally he probably shouldn't yet.
Yeah.
it has a little sensor that reads the paint on the street. And if the street curves, the car will just automatically curve.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a new car.
It's a new car. Yeah. I didn't know if I wanted new or used, but I got a really good deal. So.
Okay. I know you got a Hyundai because Eric told me.
Mm.
Did you get a Hyundai Elantra?
No.
Is it a coupe?
No, it's an SUV. It's a very, very small SUV.
Oh, you got the... Oh, no, you either got – okay, so you have two choices here. One is the Santa Fe Sport, which is like a nice little smaller crossover. The other is the Veloster.
No, neither of those.
Neither of those?
This one was introduced in 2018. It's a fairly new model.
I have no idea.
The Kona. I feel like I'm doing an ad for
Kona.
The Kona.
Yes, I wrote it. It was a little too small for – but at the time I was like – top weight. I was like, this is too small. Why? But I also like a bigger, I like to feel like I'm in a bigger cabin. That's okay. Those are nice.
I like to be able to park. But yeah, it was not what I was expecting to go in wanting to get. Like, but after doing my big checklist, I was like, you know what? This checks off all the boxes. And the guy that, thanks, man. The guy that sold it to me was hilarious. We went to, it was at the empty parking lot the lot for that particular dealership is on the top floor of the Americana brand, which is a shopping mall for those who don't know, an outdoor shopping mall. So, the way that this guy had me do a test drive, he's like, you like it? I'm like, yeah. He's like, all right, do some donuts, man. I was like, what? He's like, give me, see how it goes, man. Cause this was a different one than I was going to buy because it was the wrong color. And he was like, you're not going to buy this one. Just do some donuts. I was like, how many people did you tell to do donuts in the one that I actually am buying? And then we took it out on the street for a street test drive. And I knew it was going to be fun when we're on a 2-lane road and there's a car in front of me at a red light. The light turns green and he goes, let that guy go ahead a little. I was like, oh no. And he's like, all right, man, open it up. There's a good curve up here. I was like, what are you doing? We're going to roll a car. But it was the most fun test drive I could imagine, which I guess might have also sold me on this thing. Like, this car's so fun because this guy's awesome.
And he lives with you now, right?
He lives with me now.
That's so cool.
He did. And he also started. It comes with the satellite radio, a little bit of that, or like 3 months of that.
Yeah.
It was just great. I love satellite radio. And he starts fiddling with the knob while I'm driving and doing the test drive. And he's like, oh, man, they moved it. Like, they moved it. He's like, yeah, I have a favorite station. I can't find my favorite station. I'm like, what are you looking for? He's like, Yacht Rock, man. So.
Oh, and you still bought the car. That's cool.
While I'm test driving it, this guy's looking for Yacht Rock. It was very funny. And he was really nice. So I was like, I want to give this guy a commission. He seems like a real nice dude.
Hey, drive this car up that mountain. I'm going to try and turn Michael McDonald on the radio.
It's basically what it was.
Get him on there.
Yeah.
See that cliff up there? Hold my hand and hit the gas.
Sure thing, Thelma. Yeah. So that's how this show helped me pick out what car to buy.
That's wonderful. That's a great new segment of how the show is affecting
how the show
lives.
Is helped. So if the show has helped your life in any way,
yeah,
let us know.
Yeah,
but in the meantime, we're going to talk about Hamilton. The movie, or the Broadway production, is being released on Disney Plus.
This is exciting for me because I never got to see the original cast together, but mm-hmm. now on July 3rd, I get to watch Hamilton on stage. I'm so excited because I remember when the soundtrack dropped, not for sale, but NPR broke it first. They were like,
they
here is.
Posted it and yeah, played it for soundtrack. A day.
Yeah. That was the first time that I actually listened to it. I was aware of it because of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had seen it off Broadway. So I saw the original Broadway cast, but I saw it in a smaller venue. And actually, the week that I saw it, Brian D'Arcy James had left the role of King George and Jonathan Groff had stepped in. So I actually saw what ultimately became, at least as far as all the lead characters. I don't know if some people in the ensemble had swapped out. But yeah, this is the cast that I saw, the one that's going to be on television or on Disney Plus. But also I have a ton of friends from Aladdin who are in it on the road now, which is awesome.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. One of the guys that played the palace guard, Marcus Choi, is playing Washington right now.
Oh, so cool.
He's so great. Yeah, he's super talented. Joseph Morales, if you get a chance to see him on the tour, he was in Aladdin and now he is a Hamilton and he is great. My buddy Remy is in it. I don't know. His goal was to play Burr. I know he started off in the ensemble. I don't know. I know he's been with it for a while. I hope he's gotten a chance to at least cover Burr because he's crazy talented. But this is a show that I have, since its inception, or since not its inception, since the first time I ever saw outside the public theater, the name Hamilton and a picture of the $10 bill, because that used to be the logo back then. Mm-hmm. It was just the center of a $10 bill and it said Hamilton coming soon. And I was like, well, I like history shows. Hey, I told that story on Drunk History.
And then I don't know if you've told the story on the podcast before about what happened after that show, after the show that you went to see.
Oh, I don't know if I told this story ever. It wasn't that show. I was actually seeing a play called Fidelis that Katie was in.
Oh.
It was in the public theater.
Okay.
Which has like four different theater spaces. And I saw an old director of mine from LA who was standing waiting for the cast of Hamilton to come out so she could get her playbill signed by the cast. Traditional Broadway and musical theater thing to do. So I went down, I was like, oh, I'll hang out with you while this is happening. And the cast starts to file out and she's wishing well to people. And Lin-Manuel comes out and she's like, your show was so great. And they chat for a quick second. And I said, and this is one of my favorite moments of my life, is I said, hey man, I'm really excited to see your show. I haven't seen it yet. I was not with her tonight. Full disclosure. I'm here seeing a different show, but I'm really excited to see yours. My name's Mark Gagliardi. And he goes, you're Mark Gagliardi from Drunk History? Oh my God, dude, can we take a picture? And I was like, yeah, man, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. So I took a picture with Lin and he tweeted it. Very nice things. So that made me very happy. So then I went to try out the lottery the next week. Mm-hmm. And the way that the lottery worked back then, for those who don't know, a Broadway show will do a couple rows worth of tickets for cheap so that the population can see the show instead of just the rich folks. And I went in and I won the lottery, mostly fair and square, because it was a hand-drawn lottery at this point.
Right.
I did go up to the little coffee shop and get a honey stick and put a little tiny bit of honey on my fingers and put it on my piece of paper so that it would stick to whoever reached their hand into the bowl. And it totally worked.
Oh, that's amazing.
And they call out my name and I'm like, yes. And then, I don't know if I told you this part of the story. And then I hear behind me, Gags. And I turn around and it's Lin-Manuel showing up to the theater with a backpack on. Like, I don't know if they had a rehearsal planned or if he was just getting there extra early that day.
Right.
He's like, dude, I'm so glad you won. And he brings me in for a bear hug and then scurries off backstage. And I look around and everyone is looking at me like I was the biggest cheater. Like, oh, this whole Hamilton thing is rigged. And I was like, no, I didn't rig it. I guess I kind of did because I put honey on my hand. But anyway, it was a great show. Yeah, it was one of those rare, very exciting, wonderful days. And one of the most special moments I've gotten to experience in a theater. And I'm very excited that you have not yet experienced it and will.
Yeah.
This cast. If you're listening to this episode, you're probably a Hamilton fan, I assume.
Sure.
Or an Us fan, in which case you're probably a Hamilton fan.
Yep.
But this cast is just incredible. And this show is, I guess you were the one that brought this idea up of doing a Bess Hamilton song. It never dawned on me because I don't really think of it as a series of songs because my introduction to it was as a full show. Sure. Where I wasn't really able to chop it up into songs because I'm spending so much time focusing on the lyrics to this. They're not sentences, they're paragraphs. So it's a really, really dense show to listen to. So you really have to be paying attention the whole time, which is one thing I love about it. But tell me about your introduction to this. It was the NPR?
It was NPR. I was aware of it because of you. Mm-hmm. I think you told me about it. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the soundtrack posted on NPR. I was like, all right, let me check it out. I've heard good things from Mark, and I was blown away by it.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to connect with it as strongly as I did right away in how well it was written, how well it was performed.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, you know, there are musicals, like if you listen to the Music Man soundtrack, you're missing huge chunks of the show because there's a lot of dialogue. There's a lot of setup. There's a lot of expository stuff going on that you don't see. But with the soundtrack, my understanding is that's pretty much the whole show. You are seeing it laid out for you. There aren't huge dialogue breaks in it. So it was like I attended the entire show with my eyes closed, which is a weird thing to say.
No, that makes perfect sense. That's what I used to do with musicals when I was a kid. Cause in Tennessee, we didn't have access to go see a lot of Broadway shows. We'd get whenever tour came in annually. We'd get like one or two great shows a year come through town, but a new show would come out. I would do that. I would just lay down. And, if it was a sung through show, I would listen to the whole soundtrack top to bottom. If it was a songs and scenes show, I would read the libretto up to the point where there was the parenthetical with the name of the song. And then I would listen to the song. And then I would go back to the liner notes and read more of the either summary or libretto or whatever was in there. Yeah.
I love that. That's great.
Real, real theater nerds.
I guess for me, there is more, as much as I sort of listen to it all the way through as a story, and I do see it as a complete work, there are specific tracks that people enjoy for one reason or another. I have my favorites, and there's probably the most popular one is My Shot, I would say.
Right. My Shot is his big, and it's the third song in the show.
Yes.
You've got the big opening number, the How Does a Bastard Orphan Son of, I think they did that one at the Tonys. They opened the Tonys with that one.
Yes.
And that's the one that Lin-Manuel sang originally at the White House.
When it was a mixtape.
When he performed for the Obamas back in the day before the show was even a fully realized thing.
Yeah.
So Alexander Hamilton is an amazing song that sets up the whole world and does that and gets you so much exposition of the first part of his life. It catches you up in such a sublime way, I think.
Yeah.
Like they both got sick and then Alex got better, but his mom went quick. Like, boom. That's all you need to know. Like that could be a whole movie or a whole play, but two lines, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, how do you want to do this? Do you want to go chronologically? Do you want to just talk about like My Shot being one of the big ones? You just want to talk about some of the big ones from each act
We're talking about 46 tracks.
We don't need to go through every little bit.
Do you want to pick three finalists per act and then try and figure out the act one, act two winner? So we'll just go back and forth. You tell me what one of your finalists will be. I'll tell you what one of mine would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds great. Now I'm just grabbing a notepad because I'm going to have to write some stuff down.
Okay. I'm going to start with the Schuyler Sisters, which is a great track. All three women are amazing and they sound so good together. Watching video of them warming up for each show when they would sing like in Vogue or whatever they would do, they would do warm up songs together and their voices blend so well. And you get a good idea of sort of what the social scene was like then and the excitement of being in this city in a time of revolt where all these ideas are being exchanged. And it's just a really great piece and a really great introduction to those characters, two strong female characters in a show. It's kind of perfect as a track.
And it gave us Work.
Yep.
You know, and that iconic image of the three of them, you know, fists in the air, the silhouette. It's so much of the show, you don't even need to see full image. You just see the silhouette and you're like, I know exactly what moment that is. I'm going to say I've written down three and I'm curious how many. The thing is, of course, we're going to get six per act and that's going to be good, but we're going to have a lot of them. Like, I think my three and your three will be different, but our six would have been the same anyway, probably.
Interesting. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to say, I think Satisfied. If we're sticking with the Skylar sisters for right now, the song Satisfied is so good. That's Angelica. It's a great song because it almost takes a Rashomon approach to what's happening in the story at that moment. You've seen this linear story happen. And then one character says, I'm going to back this story up and I'm going to give you my point of view on this thing. And not only that, I'm going to give you alternate realities that I could jump into.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here is a world I see where Alexander Hamilton and I are together instead of me having to give her or, you know, pass her off to my sister. When she says she realized three fundamental truths at the exact same time. Mm-hmm. And they were, I'm rich. I have to marry well. I can't follow my heart in this way. It's just such a great point of view song. It's a great time jumping song.
Yeah.
The piano, that piano underneath going. And also Renee Goolsbury's just,
oh my God.
She, the crispness of her voice. And that's a lot of lyrics. I know that sounds silly. Like that's a lot of words she says,
but it is. Her and David Diggs also, like in terms of the speed
David Diggs
they can deliver.
Yeah. What's his other band called?
Freestyle Love Supreme?
No.
Collective?
No. David Diggs has a band called Clipping that is, if you've never heard them, imagine how crisp his rap is, like the way that he speaks.
Right.
Now imagine that in a non-musical hip hop form. And there's one track in particular, I wish I could remember the name of it, where he begins by rapping slowly. And then by the end of it, it's the most rapid fire lunacy. These guys are all like, they're like science and math nerds that all got together and created this band. So they're super, super whip smart in like their, both their lyrics and the musicality. Anyway, Clipping is a great band. Clipping, lowercase c with a period at the end because they're the E.E. Cummings of bands, I guess.
Yeah.
I
don't know. So you're going with Sad. So far.
We have Skylar Sisters and Satisfied.
All right. I'm going to go with the track that closes the first half, which is Nonstop.
Interesting.
It's such a great build. And this idea of what's happening after the war and him trying the first case and how he and Bert, how their lives have intertwined yet again. But then he's got the demands of his wife and then Angelica's coming to visit, like all these pressures on his life. And it just feels like such a good build and the entire interchange with Burr, if that was the only part of it, would be great. Like Burr's explanation of how he's going and then the Federalist Papers being introduced. It's just amazing.
It's one of those great mishmash songs where there's so much happening and it's the end of act one. Like, you know, the end of an act is always going to have a big, there's going to be something that's going to bring that curtain down, you know? And this is a great version of that. And all the characters at different points and singing over the top of one another, One Day More style.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to throw in another one that is also a very expository song.
Okay.
Because that one, it's funny. Some of these songs, like Nonstop and the one that I'm going to mention, which is Yorktown.
Yes.
These songs, they don't really delve deep into the characters and how they're feeling. They're just killer songs. Like when they're rapping and then Hercules Mulligan jumps in and Hercules Mulligan thunders through a rap right as a distorted guitar kicks in on that part. You know what I mean? Like that song knows how to build so beautifully. I think it's a great mix of the history of like that moment. It gives smaller characters a chance to step forward.
Yep.
In the same way that Nonstop does, like. Nonstop is where you hear, I think it's the one that's where you hear, Lauren say, you know, he's going to South Carolina. We'll never be free till we end slavery.
Yep.
So like everybody gets their moments in these songs and they're very much, you know, group numbers as opposed to the solos.
And also like, here's history.
Yeah.
Give you a bunch. Here's a history lesson that you can walk away from this. And if you are singing it and you have it memorized, then you've learned some U.S. history that's one of the other beautiful things about this show as a whole is it sparked or has the ability to spark an interest in U.S. history, particularly from this period, and really understand some of the people behind it and what the politics and pitfalls were in creating this nation and how difficult it was and continues to be. We're still developing as a nation politically every single day as we try to interpret what people wrote 250 years ago.
And that's what that's what's great about this is it is an interpretation of that. And it's an interpretation of the decisions that got made. You know, you look at, and we'll get to Act Two, but some of the, they turned the debates between Hamilton and Jefferson into rap battles.
Yep.
And you get a perfect sense of the point of view of each of these. This is going to be very hard to come up with six per act, but we'll try.
It is very tough. All right. Okay. So I have last one. This is my last one.
Wait, this is
of act one.
Oh my God. This is all written. Cause see this. Oh man.
No,
this is going to be hard.
Great. There are no bad tracks in this.
I know, but I want to. All right. You give your last one and then I'm going to give my last like five.
I think. I'm kind of torn. I'm torn between History Has Its Eyes on You, which is a really good sort of George Washington song, and Dear Theodosia, which is such a beautiful song. And Leslie Odom Jr. has got such a beautiful, his voice is like heavy cream being poured over butter. It's so smooth and so rich and so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I love that. It's a very like emotional song. This is the parents' love for their child and a child being born the same time. You'll come of age with our new nation. Like that even now I get choked up thinking about it. I it would be impossible for me to pick something else other than that just because.
So Dear Theodosia.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's solid. I'm torn now because now I have one more in this act to pick and, I love My Shot. I play My Shot on Beat Saber and it's amazing. it's such a great Beat Saber song, you know, just like My Country, I'm Young, Scrappy and Hungry. Like lyrically, it's perfect. It begins with, actually, I think this is sort of the halfway between Aaron Burr, Sir, and My Shot is, you know, in this huge hip hop musical that you're introduced to Lawrence Mulligan and Lafayette. And the only music in the thing is them banging on the table. You know, that's the only music playing through. So it's a completely analog moment. I think You'll Be Back is brilliant because it lives outside of the rest of the show. The only one that feels like actually a musical theater song when King George comes in. And it's such a clear and hilarious point of view. Each time that it happens, and it's always a different point of view, it comes back. Maybe I'll pick up one of those from Act Two to be, there we go. See, this is now I'm playing the thought process out in my head. Helpless, that swingy beat in Helpless is one of the, I think, best hooks on the album. Philippa Sue, singing that. Ten Dual Commandments, it just lays out. It's like an essay in the middle of the show. But I think I'm going to have to go with, oh man, The Story of Tonight. It's like such an epic, sweet anthem. I'm going with My Shot. I think My Shot is it's pretty perfect.
Yeah.
Oh. It's the moment when he meets all of his friends that he's going to start a revolution with.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike Les Mis, this revolution works. So I think that's what I'm going to go with. And you don't need us to describe My Shot to you. It's the one everybody knows.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh man. The other two I was thinking about.
I know it's so hard to just pick.
One was Stay Alive. The other's Right Hand Man.
The bass in Right Hand Man. Yeah. Yo, let's do the cannons.
It's so good. But I think it's a good six. Look, you come up with any six, it'd be a good six. But I think this is a solid six. So what are our finalists in act? Let's pick our act one winner and then we'll take a break.
Great. We have Skylar Sisters, Yorktown, You'll Be Back, Satisfied, Nonstop, Dear Theodosia, and My Shot. Wait a minute. Did I have too many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How did I get 7 of them?
That's okay.
Oh, no, I put You'll Be Back. I wrote down You'll Be Back before.
You wrote down You'll Be Back, but it's not.
So it is Skylar Sisters, Yorktown, Satisfied, Nonstop, Dear Theodosia, and My Shot. I know. It's hard. It's so hard.
Where's your heart leading you right now?
Right now, here's what my heart is saying. It's saying that Yorktown and Nonstop are wonderful, danceable, thumping, great beat. Bits of history, but I think I'd like it to be something that gives us a little more insight into a character.
Okay.
Which would make it Dear Theodosia, the Skylar Sisters, Satisfied, and My Shot. What do you think?
Yeah, I like that. I think of those four when you read those four out, one of them jumped right away.
Between Skylar Sisters, Satisfied, Dear Theodosia, and My Shot?
Yes.
Was it Satisfied?
Yes, it was.
Mine too.
That's
Satisfied
it.
We got it. That was amazing. Yeah, Satisfied is it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
All right. Well, that was, look, this is easy. We thought this would be hard.
See?
Man, now I just want to go and I just want to drive around in my Kona and listen to this and turn the bass up every time a Right Hand Man comes on.
Let me get in my Kona. Rolling in my Kona 0.0.
Look, I did not.
Sunroof open so my hair can blow.
I did not get this car to look cool from the exterior.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's fine. This is,
nobody rolls up. Nobody rolls up and is like, damn, a Kona.
By the way, progress report. Everything's going fine with the plumbing. Let's take a break. We're going to hear from some of the other fine podcasts on the Max Fun Network. When we come back, we'll explore Act 2. Of maybe the most popular musical of all time. Maybe. It's getting there.
It could be.
It's getting there. Coming to Disney Plus. We'll be right back.
That's right. Intermission.
I started listening to Ono, Ross, and Carrie shortly after I broke my arm, and the doctor had told me I'd never walk again.
I was allergic to water.
Addicted to wheatgrass.
I knew it was time to make a change.
There's something about Oh No, Ross and Carrie that you just can't get anywhere else.
They're thought leaders, discoverers, founders,
healers,
luminaries.
Ross and Carrie don't just report on fringe science, spirituality, and claims of the paranormal. They take part themselves.
They show up so you don't have to.
But you might find that you want to.
My arm is better. I can walk again.
6 months. No wheatgrass.
Just go to MaximumFun.org.
Thank you, Ross and Carrie.
Ono, Ross and Carrie is just a podcast. It doesn't do anything. It's just sound you listen to in your ears. All these people are made up. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm James, host of Minority Corner, which is a
podcast that's all about intersectionality. It's hosted by James with a guest host every week.
Discussing all sorts of wonderful issues, nerdy and political.
Pop culture.
Black, queer, feminism.
Race, sexuality.
News.
You're going to learn your history, their self-empowerment, and it's told by what feels like your best friend.
Why should someone listen to Minority Corner?
Why not?
Oh my God, free stuff.
There's not free stuff.
The listeners of Minority Corner will enjoy some necessary LOLs, but mainly a look at what's happening in our world through a colorful lens.
People will get the perspective of marginalized communities.
I feel heard. I feel seen.
Like you said, you need to understand how to be more proactive in your community, and this is a great way to get started.
Join us every Friday on Max Fun or wherever you get your podcast.
Minority Corner.
Because together we're the majority.
You know they're going to have an intermission on the Disney Plus version.
Really?
A 60-second intermission. When it was going to go into theaters, they were actually going to do a full 10-minute intermission, which I think is a brilliant idea. I love movies that do that. It makes you feel like you're at the movies, you know? Feels like you're at, like you're in a theater with people and there's an intermission and you step out and you go, oh, what'd you think of the first half? Oh, I thought it was great, but this one song was terrible. Yeah, you're right. That song was terrible, but everything else was great. Okay, let's go back in.
It also feels like the older movies, rather than like being like, all right, I'm in a theater, to movies like It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, where you had 20 minutes of overture and then – so these big event movies. So it makes it sort of takes it back to being a big event.
Like movie. Fantasia. Fantasia being one of those big event movies that, you know, they did an intermission in the middle.
Yes.
I wonder if they'd – now if they had that same Disney guy or played that clip. So all of this very cool, amazing Hamilton stuff happens and then a stuffy dude just walks forward from Fantasia and goes – I will now take a 10-minute intermission. But enough about intermission. Let's move on to Act 2. Act 2 a little darker. I think, honestly, I'm going to say, like many musicals, you know, Into the Woods, Act 2 is way darker. A lot of stories, it happens that way. I'm going to say I think I like Act 1 better than Act 2 generally.
Yeah, it's peppier.
It's peppier and you know the ending. You know, not that you don't know the ending in Act 2, but you know the ending of Act 1 is this revolution is going to work.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Whereas Act 2, you know the ending is, oh, he's going to get in a duel and it's going to kill him.
If Act 1 is A New Hope, Act 2 is Empire Strikes Back. It's much darker.
Yeah. Very well put.
And it keeps getting worse for every, like, no character comes out of it better than they went in.
Yeah.
Except maybe Jefferson. Just become president.
Yeah. I mean, look. I don't like Jefferson in this. I mean, I don't mean to be Diggs. I don't mean the performance. It's like making Jefferson the antagonist. He's a fun, you're not supposed to like him. He's a fun antagonist.
Yes.
And also having done a play where Thomas Jefferson was one of the characters and doing a lot of studying up on that guy, problematic at best.
Yeah. Not that great a guy. Made major contributions to American history.
Sure.
And yet. He's a problem. And yet again, my first pick for Mac 2 is going to be What Did I Miss?
Really?
Because it's such a good introduction of the character. We chose characters over history in Act 1. This, I think, is an interesting blend of both.
Yeah.
And it establishes who that character is and how you're supposed to feel about him so well. And the performance is obviously great. But I also think I'm sure that the actors who have played that role since have also done a fantastic job with it. It's such a great piece of music. That sort of like Little Richard style of who this character is, how showy he is, flashy he is.
Yeah.
Is so good that.
Yeah. I just
love it. It's weird to pick an opener or closer, but I just think that's such a great song. And I remember the first time hearing it, I was like, oh, I didn't expect this at all. I guess I wasn't even thinking.
It's very outside the style of the show.
It's outside the style of the show. The entire first act feels like a whole play. That story is done.
Yeah.
But then you have a whole second act to get to because you realize, oh, this is the life of Hamilton. We have to get to his duel and then his death at the hands of Aaron Burr. So it's such a great place to start out. Like, yeah, they have to figure out this government. Washington's got to put his cabinet together and have these guys as part of it. We already know that Hamilton's going to be the Treasury Secretary from the end of Act 1. But we get our Secretary of State, Thomas Jefferson. Yeah.
What a great way for, and in a brilliant performance, for David Diggs to come out and serve the function of that song, or one of the functions of that song, which is, hey, everybody, I am not Lafayette anymore. I am playing a new character now, and I'm going to come out like gangbusters so you know that this is a totally different person. We all on board? Great. Which I think is, I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay. My first one from Act 2 is going to be The World Was Wide Enough. It's not one of the like big, most popular ones. It's right at the end. And I'm half reluctant to pick this because there's so many great, great songs in this. But the reason that I love it is because it is a moment that seeing it live took my breath away. And I'm sorry, Hal, to blow a little bit of the visual and what you have in store for you in
this. That's okay.
But The World Was Wide Enough, it begins with a reprise of the Ten Dual Commandments of Burr and Hamilton getting out to the location. It ends with Burr singing sort of a lament about what has happened, that now he's the villain. But the meat of that song and the thing that blew me away on stage was the moment that the shot happens. Time freezes, and with no music underneath him, Hamilton raps his final soliloquy. It's stunning in its sparseness, and on stage it is everything goes black except for white light on Hamilton and maybe a light on Burr of some sort, but focus on Hamilton. And the turntable that the whole set is on begins spinning. So you get sort of a, almost like the slow-mo bullets in the Matrix. You just get a slow spinning Hamilton watching his life flash before his eyes in that moment. And it's not the greatest song, but I'm putting it on here because that moment absolutely took my breath away. So that's my first one for Act 2 is The World Was Wide Enough.
Okay. Oh man,
I know.
I have a heavier one that I'm going to come back to. Well, no,
I might do it now because then I'll get an extra one because it's one of mine too. Man.
I think I'm going to take the reprise of Stay Alive when his son is dying in his arms.
Oh God, it's not the sad one that this is a dark act.
It's that's the other moment in the show that has me in tears. It's so touching, so moving. It's weird to pick a reprise of a song that I did not pick in the first one, although I love Stay Alive in Act 1. It benefits from that song already existing, but just the power of that moment it makes it a pick for me.
All right. Mine is also an incredibly sad song from the end of the show, which is so, but it's so beautiful. And that's It's Quiet Uptown.
Yep.
That is more commonly known as The Unimaginable,
mm-hmm.
which is the chorus that they keep repeating. They're dealing with the unimaginable because I don't think that it could be what that family has gone through could be described as anything but unimaginable in that moment.
Yeah.
It is the saddest reconciliation of sorts, but it's just an incredibly moving and beautiful. And yeah, it's just, it's a stunner of a song. And Lin-Manuel Miranda does a great job of hitting you hard when he needs to, mm-hmm. making your brain work when he needs to, and just giving you a gentle, they're dealing with the unimaginable when he needs to. You know, and that is one of those moments that, yeah, I think it's wonderful. This episode took a turn, Hal. This episode took a turn.
Well, let me take it into brighter territory.
Okay.
And take it all the way back to the beginning of the second act again with mm-hmm. the track right after What Did I Miss, which is the first of the two cabinet battles. This one over how they're going to handle economics and not helping France with their revolution.
Yeah.
It's about who assumes the state's debts and creating a centralized bank. And it's so to take those debates, which mm-hmm. from historical record were heated and contentious all around whenever there were debates like that, even in the Constitutional Convention, the creation of Declaration of Independence and who was going, what, how they should deal with the British, that these were hotly contested. So to turn it into a rap battle is such a smart device to use. And they're really yeah. good burns. It's like a good rap battle. It's really well done. They play it off well. I love that device so much.
Yeah. Just doing that, like, regardless of whether you heard the song, like, that was one of the buzz things that you would hear before the show. You're like, did you see Hamilton? Did you hear about Hamilton? No. Oh my God. It's amazing. It, like, yeah, it's crazy. They actually take cabinet debates and turn them into rap battles. It's nuts. Like, you can describe what the show is just by describing that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Like, yeah, they're all great. Every one of these, I go,
they're all great.
It's funny. Every one of these, I go, yeah, I agree. Oh yeah. Yep. I agree. Of course. I agree. Now I have my last one. Is this our last one for the, yeah, this is,
yeah,
this is the last one. Oh my God.
Last one.
I know. Well, it makes sense then because I'm picking the song, one last time, which is okay. Washington deciding to end after two terms as the president for multiple reasons. One, it's a beautiful song. Sung beautifully on the original cast recording by Christopher Jackson mm-hmm. as George Washington. Two, it's one of the most important moments in American history. It's the first time, like, I mean, not the first time, but that is a moment in American history where George Washington, the actual George Washington, did arguably the most heroic thing he ever did, which was willingly decide to relinquish power, knowing that he was the precedent setter. He didn't want to be the king. And so to do what he did was a huge moment in history. It's beautifully executed in the show. They use Washington's actual words in it. And also, have you heard the Obama version?
No.
There's a beautiful version of this song where late in the song, where Alexander Hamilton is writing what Washington's going to say for his final speech to the troops. And the voice of Barack Obama comes in the track. And he delivers Washington's farewell address as much of it is in this. And it is, I had no idea what was coming. I was listening to it in the car. I was like, oh, they made a single of this. And I just lost it while driving.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty spectacular. All right, man. I feel like there's so many honorable mentions we could give in this one as well. Like, I know it's hard. It's hard.
Your obedient servant. You want to talk about that one?
Your obedient servant, A.Ham. Yeah. The back and forth letter writing is wonderful.
Yeah.
Blow Us All Away, which is Dear Theodosia, but the duet version with mm-hmm. Alexander Hamilton talking to his kid and Burr talking to his kid. Yeah. The room where it happens. I mean, come on. That is Burr's thesis for the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great, but you know, and it also makes me mad that that's the name of John Bolton's new book. but yeah, I think that we have a pretty good, sextet here, okay. which I will read off now. What Did I Miss?
Mm-hmm.
Stay Alive 2, Cabinet Battle 1.
Those are my three.
The World Was Wide Enough.
Yep.
One Last Time. and it's quiet uptown. Yeah, so that's our list. Anything sticking out to you that might want to make you take it off the list? Is there anything that would make you want to pull one back or push one forward?
You know, I think of those six, I have one in my head. Do you have one? Does something jump out at you in those six? Because one jumps out at me.
As the best one?
Yeah.
I'm looking at this list now. Not necessarily. There are a couple. What's jumping out to you?
There's one that it's the central thesis of the play, this idea of who lives, who dies, who tells your story, and gives you sort of the things that happened afterwards.
Well, that's who lives, who dies, who tells your story.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. As I think the function that song serves is really, I don't know, that might be the one. That's the one that jumps out to me immediately from those six.
Well, that wasn't on the list.
I thought that was one of yours.
No, mine was The World Was Wide Enough.
Oh, crap.
But I'll tell you this.
What?
I'm glad that you said that, because I wouldn't mind doing a swap out of The World Was Wide Enough for Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Your Story, because that is the thesis of the whole show. It's the finale number of the show. And The World Was Wide Enough is a great song, but I don't know if I love the whole song as much as I love that one a cappella rap that Hamilton does in the middle.
Right.
And that's why I picked that song. I had a feeling that one would get eliminated almost immediately, probably by me. And turns out, yes. But I just love that section of that song so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Your Story is it's the whole thing. And everybody gets their denouement in it. You know, it talks about Eliza and everything that she did after Hamilton died. Yeah, it's a great ending to the show. Did you just add one to the list and suddenly it's going to take over all of them?
I don't know why I thought you had that on the list in the first place, but it just jumped out at me. I kept looking at just the words written down and it leaps out like, oh, that's the central thesis of the show. And it's a good number too, and it brings you out of the show in like a good way. You feel satisfied with how it ends.
Sorry, you feel what?
Satisfied. Satisfied.
How do you feel?
Satisfied.
Does Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Your Story or any of these on this list beat our winner from Act One?
No.
Then why don't we just go ahead and say it?
Fine. Folks, people of the world, is satisfied.
It's so good.
It's so brilliant. It's so brilliant. Just like mechanically, if you just look at the mechanics of the song and the way it's performed, that idea of the time shifting, that Rashomon angle to it that Mark pointed out, in a show full of triumphs, it is the triumph of triumphs. And that's what makes it the best song in Hamilton. Asked and answered.
Look at that. We did not throw away our shot, my friend.
We sure didn't.
Well, that was fun, man. We need to do more of these, just you and me. It's nice to just chat with you.
Let's do it. Let's start another podcast where we don't have guests.
Well, Hal, this has been lovely. Thank you for coming on. Is there anything you want to plug?
Yeah, my butt because of these.
Oh gosh, is that why we did go fast on that?
We're fine. Yeah.
Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I'm good.
Did you crap your pants?
I mean, no more than usual.
Okay, that's fine. We all do it. Look, we all do it.
Is there anything I want to plug? Like, I was the guest.
No, I know. That was the whole point of that bit.
I'm sorry. I just caught up with it. I'm sweating so much. Folks, this topic is settled.
That's right. But there are many more to discuss. So please reach out to us on Twitter at We Got This Tweets. Check out the Maximum Fun subreddit, or
you can email us at wegotthispodcast@gmail.com or share your favorite Hamil moments at facebook.com/groups/wegotthispodcast. Thank you to producer Ken Plume, researcher Kate McManus, graphic designer Uri Kelman, and QA engineer Jen Alba.
Thanks also to our musicians, Jonathan Einerstein and Mike Furman, for our score and theme song respectively. And thanks to you, the people of the world, for giving us a chance to talk about a show that we really, really love and one of the great works of the canon of American musical theater. So if I may, with my Alexander Hamilton glass that I decided to put a little bourbon in for this one, raise a glass to freedom, something they can never take away, no matter what they tell you. Raise a glass to the four of us. Tomorrow there'll be more of us. Cheers, everybody. For Hal Lublin, I'm Mark Agliardi.
For Mark Agliardi, I'm Hal Lublin. And don't worry, everybody.
We got this.
We got this.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.